microphone. And I don't know, did any of you ever hear of the great particle keep the street open for the mass?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you came to the corner, you know, in the early 60s, sorry, the 50s, he described the microphone as being like a turkey's head. Now, did any of you ever hear of the laughing boy?
Yes.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah. Now.
In the hospital.
No.
Song.
No, it's neither. This is a poem that was written by Brendan Behan when he was 8 years old. Now, the Laughing Boy was the nickname given to Michael Collins by his mother Beatrice. So this is the Laughing Boy by Brendan Behan, at age 12. Now, I'm kind of singing a little so you have to grasp the words while I'm singing. And they're very cleverly written. By the way, the translation of Bale and the Block is the mouth of flowers. And the ash that comes into this is a Thomas Ash from Clunny that died on hunger strike in Mount Jerky. Just so you might understand what this is. So this is the Latin Boy by Brendan Behan, age 12. 'Cause on an August morning, all in the dawning hours, I went to take the warming air, all in the mouth of flowers. And there I saw a maiden and mournful water cry. What will mend my broken heart? I lost my laughing boy. So strong, so wild and brave he was, I'll mourn his loss too soon, when thinking that I'll hear the laugh of springing step no more. Acute at times and sad a loss, my heart to crucify, that an Irish son with a rebel gun shot down my laughing boy. Oh, had he died by Pierce's side, or in the GTO, killed by an English bullet from the rifle of the foe, or forcibly fed with ash laid dead in the dungeons of Mountjoy, I'd have cried with pride for the way he died, my own dear laughing boy. My princely love, clenchless love, do more than tell to you, God above a good, for all you tried to do, for all you did and would have done, my enemies to destroy. I will mourn your name and praise your fame forever, my laughing boy. Shinny. Thank you for the interruption. Thank you for leaving me go first.
That's fine.
Wait to head back to the
kitchen. You'll hardly get there tonight.
Have a little bit of
okay, bye now.
Make yourself there, I'll get her. So next up we have Susan Sheehan, please.
This poem that I wrote about a couple of months ago, Carl Dive, and it's just all about kind of new beginnings and growing right in. Let the dive begin. Poised, graceful, ready to dance in the air. Reaching, touching, the tingling expectation of the water surface, a graceful entry into a new world.
I think he's done have the fight, is he? Carl Holden?
Come out the
window
there.
Has it come to that? No, we've been in a second.
We don't normally call out the
window. Is your phone tree?
Yeah.
You're wanted? Okay, we have Mel Hurry as well, please.
I've been delving into old stuff I wrote a good while ago, and this was written for my uncle. He died in 1976. Very old-fashioned, I mean the form of it, and also praise for the dead is very old-fashioned, but probably a bit of a hagiography, but so what. His death has diminished us all, said a poet of centuries past. And now that death has left us, battle free at last of the body's pincering pain and his family's helpless woe, I'm thinking of those words of that poet of long ago. The best of us is gone, said one man who knew Des well. Not a bit of badness in him, as far as one could tell. A chuckle and a generous grin were seldom far away from lighting up his lived-in face that drove grey from the greyest day. As active a man as ever lived and loved and worked and played in the rolling Tormen countryside, for now he lies in yew tree's shade. Someone said he should have lived in a much more robust age, but with his grieving family, we're glad he walked our stage. Listen to what friends are saying as the man is laid to rest. We're going to miss him surely. Yes, one of the best. A great man's the old crack. The rascal really let life rip. Could charm the birds up a bush or an orangeman out of his pip. He lived his life at such a pace you'd think he might have gone taking his horse over a high stone wall. We thought he'd go with his boots on. And skipper, it's well I can see you now, bony in cap over a face rough and tanned, on your old wooden boat on the Shannon, or with a white-collared pint in your hand. And if at times there was a downside, you learned to hide as well. You showed more sunshine than shadow at times you were going through hell. You rode on a roller coaster, a victim of errant enzymes, and family trauma, and adolescence shortened, shaken by black and tan crimes. In the heaven of our childhood, you're now putting a grin on the dial of the dourest saint or angel with your pranks and your roguish smile. The spirit like yours rides free across dimensions without maps. And who knows, Des, you old rascal, we'll all see you someday, perhaps.
Come on, good night. Look at some will call her actual preacher. Alright. So, let me try. Gone to the Will Irish. I'll just beg Jimmy Tarrant to win.
Thanks, Kitty. Found this on the table. Ocean to City, the race coming up shortly, so I dug this out from the archives. Rowing. They puff and heave, strain and tug, oar looms pushed before the hug, carbon fibre blades all dip to bite blue water off the slip. On return stroke, feathering now, in deference here, all heads bow. Next stroke, faster and more force. Windsurfing clown, get off the course. Straight and through without a roll, well honed muscles play their role. Lungs of power beyond belief, fitness leaves no grounds for grief. Strive that yaw on this event, row on row without relent. The leader's dusty canvas clear, her stroke seems lighter than last year. Straining backs and legs a quiver, forcing hard down tidal river. Searing pain on each face red, without a weight they streak ahead. The flash and military precision, a hiss disguises each incision. 2,000 meters yet to turn, the coaxing, urging cox and stern. Not one length between them yet, who'll round the boys without upset. Number two, with keel cut back, here's her chance to mount attack. Straightening up, the lead has changed. Results may yet be rearranged, with guts on fire inside a knot, each heart yearns for that shot. No cheering masses waving banners, no veering ribs with bad manners, no long air horns to trumpet loud, no heave or push and surging crowd. That comes later on in season, when I explain, you'll see the reason. It's early summer, yet none complaining, because these ladies are just out training.
Thanks, Jamie. So, Carl Mullen, Little Hull.
So I was going to do his freestyle, but I just got this poet last night, so I'm just going to read one of his poems off my phone, because it's amazing. This is by Anis Morganj, and it's called Come Closer. It's like 5 minutes ago. Sorry for the second half. Come closer. Come into this. Come closer. You are quite the beauty. If no one has ever told you that before, know that now you are quite the beauty. There is joy in how your mouth dances with your teeth. Your mouth is a sign of how sacred your life truly is. Come into this. True of heart, come into this. You are true of heart. Come closer. Come closer. Know that whatever God prays to, he asked it to help him make something of worth. He woke from his dream, scraped the soil, formed the spaces inside himself, made you, and was happy. You make the doors happy. Come into this. Come closer. Know that something softer than us, but just as holy, planted the pieces of himself into our feet that we might one day find our way back to him. You are almost home. Come closer. Come into this. There are birds beating their wings beneath your breastplate. Your burdens are beating their wings beneath your breastplate. Gentle sparrows aching to sing come. Aching hearts come soldiers of joy. Doormen of truth come true of hearts. Come into this. My heart was too big for my body, so I let it go, and most days this world has pinned me to just where I am, another cloud forgetting another flock of swans. But believe me when I tell you my soul has squeezed into narrow spaces. Place your hand beneath your head when you sleep tonight, and you may find it there making beauty as we sleep, as we dream, as we turn over. When I turn over in the ground, may the ghosts that I have asked answers of do the turning, leading me into crumbs of light and into this thing, love thing called life. Come into it. Come, you wooden museums, you gentle tigers, negro farces and two broken scenes. Come, rusting giants, I see teacups in your smile. Upside down, glowing, your hands are like my heart. On some days, how it trembles. Let us hold them together. I am like you. I am too at times filled with fear. But like a hallway, we must find the strength to walk through it. Walk through this with me. Walk through this with me. Through the church, bursts of blood and muscle, where every move our arms take, every breath we swallow is worship. Bend with me. There are bones in our throats. If we choke, it is only on songs.
So, in his query, Meg Lake or George O'Sullivan.
I only use a mic when there's about 500 people in the room. I'm now going to escort you from the sublime. We've just had the sublime to the ridiculous. It's a World War I ballad, Salonika. My husband in Salonika, I wonder if he's dead. I wonder if he knows he has the kid with a sharp foxy head. So right away,
right away,
Salonika, right away, me soldier boy. And when the war is over, what will the soldiers do? They'll be hopping around with a leg and a half of the slacker they'll have to. So right away,
right away,
me soldier boy. And when the war is over, what will the slackers do? They'll be hanging around the soldier search to borrow a bomb or two. So right away, Salonika, right away, me soldier boy. They tax the Ponderburner, they tax the hefty bun.
and still with all their taxes they couldn't beat the bloody ones. So right away, me soldier boy. They tax the Coliseum and they tax St. Mary's Hall. Why didn't they tax the Rothers with their backs against the wall? So right away, me soldier boy. And when the war is over, what will the slackers do? For every kid in America, in Cork there will be two. So right away, Salonika, right away, me soldier boy.
Grandmother. So next up we'll have a visual, please.
This is called Private Things. The return to a battery deep in the confirmation. Wrapped up in the darkest silk. So EM night is your only plan. Now waiting long enough for an old breath. For it is worry that changed in the mass health itself, in the manner of being a servant of God. Not dead, but it takes me through, misadventured, into ordinary memories of experience. It's not enough to uncivilize up to the point. You beckon your sexual veracity, finding its rightful home. Especially in your last solitude. The curtain's aperture records the moment of vision, so as not for me to remember. So I say, is worth wearing chains around my neck and wrist, even if they are silver. Our beauty is useless, and so am I. Thank you.
So, in that first fog headwind there, an open mic in it. There are two people left in the open mic, so it might be one slot left if somebody desperately wants to get on it, but sure. I don't know. Okay, no takers so far. So, we'll have the late McQuick Fuckle now, the current reigning five world champion, Dominic Donnelly, please.
Almost embarrassing as me. It's a poem I wrote a few weeks ago when I was meant to be doing something else. The Age of Ice. Default position in Mother Earth. States of long-term stability is frozen. Science said it is so. With scarce life, just glaciers and snow, and few flowers. What of now on Mother Earth? Not frozen, mostly. Just life, in all its blooming wonder. Science says this is just a blip. A mere instant in geological time. This abundant life. In every crag and hollow. Is this the pattern for all life? Eons of frozen emptiness, stable, sure, and utterly void. Just the white cold of nothingness, with brief blossoms of joyful abundance, of love and sex and bliss, and urgent, chaotic uncertainty before the freeze, the inevitable hardening, the certainty of ice. Destroying life, destroying love, the end of bliss for an age. How to hold life in chaotic wonder, how to keep the ice at bay, to stop the freeze of Mother Earth, and the freezing of hearts that looks like, that we might all cavort and play in bliss for an age.
Thanks, Dominic. So to finish tonight, to see us all out, come quick across to me here, the man who seems to be the new finisher of Ovale, Rab Urquhart.
Hey.
Fiction. All references to anyone living or dead are entirely fictitious in this piece. B bursting into the kitchen, voice already half at half shout, and flung my old work boots onto the floor by my feet. These are the boots I told you that you could use. I watched him, compassion mixed with indignation. I knew he was stressed. His newish wife was our old boss. We'd married him, lost her job, as had we, lost the house that went with her job, and subsequently spent a lot of our time crying. They had no house and hadn't lived together since marrying 6 months before. She lived with her parents in the east, while he and I were two of three people who shared a house in the south. The volume increased, spitting and screaming. Why the fuck did you do that to the fence? You made a right mess of it, didn't you? But that's all you do. Make a fucking mess. On and on. A litany of faults and misdeeds delivered in a bitchy, poisonous tone. I was aware enough to realise that this performance wasn't totally to do with me, and that he saw me as a convenient dumping ground for his unexpressed and unexamined feelings towards his new situation in life. But there was another flavour to this brew, in which it was completely personal. He had been a friend of mine. Now he saw himself as my inquisitor. His mission? To punish me, to criticise me at every opportunity, and to delight in attempting to make my life miserable. He had become my enemy, and this kitchen skirmish of boots, fences, and a diseased imagination marked the beginning of a long war. Paragraph. What's that smell? I asked Jay. There's a stink at the top of the house, and it seems to be getting worse. Yeah, I can smell it, but I don't know where it's coming from. Paragraph. Why is there a blanket on the couch? The cushions are getting holy. Maybe cigarette burns. Who burned the cushions? Probably Jay or one of his friends. They come back and party most weekends and always make a mess, though they do clean up. B goes off on one, complaining about people who don't respect, stroke, value other people's property. This couch, part of a well-worn three-piece suite, was rescued from our neighbour who was throwing it out. I remind B of this, but he refuses to descend from his lofty moral ground. B doesn't live in the house anymore. The result of the kitchen skirmish was that he'd moved east to begin married life. He had come down for a friend's party and had assumed that he could stay the night. That night the house was full. Jay's brother was visiting and sleeping on the couch. B's old room had a new tenant, C, who ran a bar in town. I woke around 1:30 a.m. to the sound of B trying to force open my bedroom door. I asked him what he thought he was doing and received a barrage of invective before he shambled downstairs. I lay in my bed angry. My thoughts went back over the 10 years I had known B, and my heart softened. We had had good times too, and I felt that I owed him a heerus. With this in mind, I went down to the kitchen. I know at least 6 people who think you're untrustworthy and devious, and that you lie, cheat, and steal. B is extremely drunk and stoned, but appears inviolate in his moral superiority of his contention. I am reminded of the old saw, like he who is without sin cast the first stone. But B has no interest in listening to reason. After an hour and a half of this, I return to bed, but not before B has made a fuss about sleeping on the floor. As I'm drifting off, I hear someone entering C's room next door. Thank you.